We have special guest Andy Larson with us from Salt City Hoops. He's the editor over there. Welcome, Andy.
Thanks.
How's your day been?
It's been good. I had been traveling all over for work, and then we had a company softball game this tonight that we lost in extra innings, 12-11. So that was a bummer. I will spare you the stories because I kind of suspect that like company league softball stories or like fantasy football stories, and nobody actually cares. But it was rough.
Sounds good. All right, well, like in past weeks, I mean, since you're our special guest, we kind of just want to pick your brain, and so we'll all just kind of ask you a couple questions. But first thing I want to know is, what are you invited to Media Day?
I am, yeah.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be credentialed, or at least I'm scheduled to be credentialed through the whole season, so... I'll be on press row all year long, writing game stories and that sort of thing. Keeping with the Jazz, interviewing the players. I'm really excited. You know, as a Jazz fan, this is kind of a dream come true. But I'm excited to kind of interview the team and see what's up.
Did you do Media Day last year or?
No, I didn't.
Is this your
okay. So yeah, this one will be my first. Hopefully
Perfect.
It's cool. I mean, I'm excited to kind of get involved and see all the players. It's kind of like the first day of basketball. It's the first day of school going in and being excited to see everybody again. This time it's actually in person, and you get to ask them what they've been up to this summer. But, yeah, I'm excited and looking forward to it.
Perfect. Awesome. So I guess what's your thoughts going into training camp? I mean, what would you like to see, I guess, in the first, you know, month or so from the Jazz? And preseason is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I want to see a whole lot in terms of, you know, obviously you'd like to see individual improvement. I think one thing we learned last preseason was whether or not Cantor had improved. And so if we can see that sort of leap from, say, an Alec Burks, or whether or not Trey Burke is at that NBA level that we kind of expected him to be before the summer league, I think that's where we can really see improvement. I don't know that the team's going to be cohesive in the first month. You know, that's a hard ask in the first month of training camp. But if we can see some new skills from players, see what they've been working on this summer, I don't give a whole lot of credence to X player is in the best shape of his life, because we've heard that so many times with, say, Andrei Kirilenko or Greg Ostertag, and then it never follows through, right? They're the same player that they always were. So, you know, we'll hear a lot of that, and I might even fall into the trap of tweeting about it, but I hope not, and I guess I don't put a whole lot of stock into that. I guess I want to see on the floor in the first couple preseason games what these guys have added to their games that are going to bring them up a step.
Perfect. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Luke.
So, I've been thinking a lot about this season, and I think it's going to be, you know, a lot of fun with all the young guys on the team, and we're going to have a chance to see something that doesn't happen very often, possibly with five starters under the age of 23. And I was just wondering if you've got a feeling of those young players, who do you think is going to rise to the top and be the three that the Jazz keep? Because we know they can't keep them all. So who do you think is going to rise to the top this season?
I mean, the good news is that the Jazz don't have to make a decision on Trey Burke until the other four have come along. I suspect that the three are Favors, Cantor, and Hayward. I mean, they've just shown so much more than Alec Burks has. And that's not saying that Alec Burks couldn't show anything, and in fact, he's one of the players I'm looking for a lot from this training camp, because he had a pretty dismal season last year. But those three are the ones that have clearly marked themselves as above average and worth keeping. Now, yeah, do you still need a backcourt? Absolutely. And you get some cheap rookie production from Trey Burke, hopefully, and then, yeah, you try to find a shooting guard to fill out the roster along with a bench. But to me, you have to keep those first three Hayward favors and Cantor, or else the whole last 3 to 4 seasons has kind of been a waste.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooks just isn't at the level of the other guys at this point. That's just statistical fact, you know. If he makes that leap, then we can have this conversation again, but that hasn't happened yet, and it may never happen.
And honestly, with Burks, I kind of hope he just proves he can be a good role player and stick around for a while.
Yeah, that's a decent point. One of the reasons I don't think the starting lineup you mentioned happens, the under 23 lineup, is because I think Alec Burks fits a lot better as an off the bench kind of six man kind of player along the lines of a Jamal Crawford or really any classic ball possession using shooting guard. I think he makes a lot of sense using a lot of possessions coming off the bench. And so I kind of doubt the tie goes that direction this season. And then, of course, just having Brandon Rush or Marvin Williams out there adds either excellent shooting in Brandon Rush's case or good to above-average defense in Marvin Williams. And actually, Brandon Rush is a good defender, too. So you get those benefits either way. I think Ty will look to add those positions or those really skill sets that the starting lineup needs that Alec Burks isn't the best at and look to use his possessions on the bench. Or at least that's what I would do. I would hope Ty's thinking in the same way.
Perfect. Go ahead, Cody.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious, wanting to kind of get your thoughts on, you know, all the experts, you know, if predicted the Jazz wins and losses this year. And a lot of what I've heard is around, you know, 25 wins for the season. And, you know, personally, I think that we can probably win more than 25 games. But I wanted to kind of get your opinion on what could affect the Jazz's win-loss record more. Do you think that having such a young group of guys will make us lose more games? And do you think that the home court advantage that is well known in Salt Lake can actually help us win more games regardless of the young guys?
Interesting. I don't know. I don't put a whole lot of stock in that because they're young, they're going to be losing more games than an older team would. I mean, we look at Oklahoma City, and they're the classic example of a young team that succeeded. But I don't know that if you have talented enough players that youth or age matters. In the end, I think it's just kind of the caliber of players that you have rather than how old they are. And I don't put a whole lot of stock in learning how to win, I guess. Because, you know, we've had veteran teams in the past that haven't won, and that hasn't gone as well as hoped. I also worry about the home court advantage this season. I'm a season ticket holder myself, and there's been a noticeable drop in fan enthusiasm, fan attendance in the last couple of seasons. And really, the win-loss record of the Jazz has responded somewhat to that. I think the home fans might get a little bit more excited just because of the personnel involved next season, but honestly, the main home court advantage at this point, I think, is just the altitude. And that's not something a lot of people talk about at this point, but I think that's the biggest factor in this rather than the fans yelling at the refs or whatever is going on. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and when I think about, you know, the fan experience, you know, because like you said that the home court advantage, fans kind of not showing up for as many games, you know, like you said, the personnel that's going to be there this year could improve that, but, you know, and for guys like me, you know, that live clear up here in the boonies in Idaho, you know, and want to actually drive down and see that, you know, big new video screen that they're putting in, you know, I kind of
really
wonder.
Sorry to interrupt, but that video screen is really cool. So we do the Saturday show every Saturday in the 1280 studios in the actual arena. And so kind of watching that go up and seeing how massive it is, it's actually legitimately fun to see, and I'm really excited to see the finished product. But anyway, go on with your product, with what you were saying.
I was just going to say that, you know, I kind of wonder if stuff like that, you know, and the things that management has done, you know, to get the personnel in here that we've got in here, they spent the money to put new video screens in, and they're trying to enhance the fan experience. I wonder if that is going to change, you know, the outcome of the fan support this year.
I don't think this year. I mean, I think people will want to go see the video screen. I don't know that they will stick around for the Jazz against the Timberwolves. I think that's going to be something that's going to absolutely improve fan excitement and performance, if you will. But I don't think, I still don't think overall that outpaces the win-loss record. And I don't think that outpaces kind of the negative expectations that are coming into this season.
Perfect. Go ahead, Tyson.
Okay. I kind of missed a little bit here. So did we talk about 2K14 at all?
No.
Okay. Did you see that, Andy? And the ratings that Hayward was given. Just what's your thoughts?
It's pretty crazy
that the national media means that of Hayward. So
it's not even the national media. It's the dumb. Okay, sorry. So yeah, I tweeted about this last night, and I can go on a rant for this for a while because I mean I want to be able to play as the Jazz online on NBA 2K14, right? Like, it'd be nice to be able to be a fan and support my team and go out there and show that the Jazz have something to offer too. But no, that's just not happening. Do you know why? Because Gordon Hayward is rated a 70 and a 57 on defense. When in reality,
Worst defense on the team.
Who is watching this? Now, okay, I'll tell you who's watching this. There's the real 2K insider guy that they promoted like in 2K12 who has no idea what he's doing. Like, so they're supposed to be statistical based. They're not. There's no stat in the world that says Gordon Hayward's the worst defender on the Jazz. And furthermore, there's no stat in the world that says Rajah Bell's a 71 and Gordon Hayward's a 70. it drives me insane, and I will not purchase the game. And I'm sticking to FIFA and basketball writing more. And there's just it's awful. You asked the correct question because it does not make me happy.
Well, I know it's just a video game, but I had to rant about it myself. Really, is Gordon Hayward worse than Rajah Bell?
No.
I mean, there's no possible way in any aspect of his game that he's worse than Rajah Bell.
No, and like, he's rated below Tracy McGrady, for example. Tracy McGrady didn't even excel in China. Like,
oh, my God.
I'm done.
What's going on?
Let me add to the insanity. I believe it's Eric Pincus, and for the LA Times, he's been comparing the Lakers to their opponents this year and seeing if the Lakers are better than that team to see if they'll make the playoffs.
Okay.
Today he talked about, are the Lakers better than the Jazz?
Okay.
When talking about Gordon Hayward, he said that Gordon Hayward defends with effort. That's it. And that is true, but I think he's a better defender than just an effort guy.
Yeah, you know? So it's interesting. I think there's like two different kinds of effort defenders, and I think there's like the Earl Watson get in someone's face as they dribble down the backcourt and kind of prevent defense kind of hustle defender. I would almost say like Randy Foy's defense last year, which was pretty maligned and probably wasn't all that good in the end, but he made some plays because of his hustle. I would call him a hustle defensive player. I think Gordon Hayward shows hustle, and I think that his defense benefits because of that hustle, but in no way is he only a hustle defensive player. He has length, he's got some fundamental sound. I think he stays a little bit too far away from his opponent in a lot of situations. His spot-up defense in particular on Synergy is really bad, and so I think that hurts him a little bit. He's not perfect, but he's not the worst defender on the team, and he's not a 57, and he's significantly better than Rajah Bell and blah, blah, blah.
How about Al Jefferson's post defense being better than Favors?
Again, so that's probably the wrong call. So Al Jefferson is not actually a bad man-to-man post defender, right? He's actually
right,
pretty good when someone's going to back you down. So I can see where that thought process comes from. And honestly, if you're going to say you're going to have a letter grade for post defending, I don't know that it's unfair to say that those two guys are at about the same place. Now, if you like consider everything else besides post defending, and that's help defense and that's pick and roll defense, then yeah, you're talking about two different players in completely different galaxies in terms of defensive ability.
No, I agree. I can see the post defense and why they may maybe have been similar in some way, but I mean, saying that Al Jefferson is better at defense in any aspect compared to Favors just kind of seems blasphemous. So,
I mean, I can see post defense, and I might even see that the stats back that up just because he is harder to back down in the post. And sometimes Favors has the tendency to, I don't know if gamble is the right word, but not read what the post-up man is doing. But I think that with teams going away from post-up options as much as they are, it matters significantly less than pick and roll defense and help defense when the rest of the defense breaks down.
Good point.
Maybe in 1980, perfect, that's more important, but not
right. One thing, hey, I know we already touched on this, but one thing Locke said this morning on Tip Off, he said that Gordon Hayward probably wouldn't be such a bad defender if people weren't so scared to come into the paint because Al Jefferson's in there instead of Derek Favors now. So maybe he gets some kind of respect with Derek Favors being in the middle of this season. So.
Well, maybe, and that'll be interesting. But even the stats show that Hayward's a decent defender.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, it depends what stats you look at, right? So, like, his 82 games opposing small forward matchup is, like, a 12.2 or something like that. So he's holding starting small forwards in the NBA, which is a pretty good caliber of player, to being a below average, you know, like a, oh, I don't know, who was the 12th PER last year? Like an Alec Burks kind of player, just not all that good, not what you'd expect from a starting caliber small forward. But if you look at his on-court, off-court stats, then you say, okay, well, he's not doing that well. Then you look at adjusted plus-minus, and it flips again because the system's smart enough to realize that when he plays with Al Jefferson, the Jazz defense is bad, and when he plays with Derek Favors, the Jazz defense is good.
Right.
So it depends what stats they look at. I kind of suspect that the 2K guys look at zero stats and just make it up as they go. And because Rajah Bell they've heard of and Gordon Hayward's white, they choose not to. But I don't know. I can't say enough negative things about how I feel about the ratings about that game.
I think a lot of us are on board with you, Andy.
Did we lose Josh?
Is there anything, Andy?
Lost Josh.
Yeah, I think we lost him. Andy, is there anything you would love to touch on that we haven't talked about?
I can't say there is. It's not like I prepared anything. We've got some cool stuff coming up at Salt City Hoops, if you don't mind me plugging my blog on yours. But we've got some great player profiles coming up. Of course, we'll still have daily content, but we're attending Media Day and the rest of the games throughout the season, so we'll be able to cover the Jazz from a kind of somewhat insider perspective. So excited for that. Luke, did you have a question for me?
Yeah, there was one other thing, and I haven't even been able to ask the opinion of the PNB guys this yet, but, you know, a lot of people were excited when Randy Rigby confirmed that Trey Burke and Alec Burks were both in Spokane working out with John Stockton. Now, I was really excited to hear that Trey Burke was there.
Right.
The fact that I heard that Alec Burks was there as well, it kind of made me worry.
Huh, why is that?
It made me worry that I think Alec Burks is a two. And I worry that maybe the Jazz are trying to make him be a combo guard, and that's just not who he is. And two, it made me worry that do the Jazz even know what type of player they have in Alec Burks yet.
Okay, so, I agree with you that Alec Burks is better as a two-guard than a one. And I think that him playing at the one last year and doing somewhat, decently, it is more a product of the injuries that the Jazz had than what the plan should be going forward. There are reasonable people who disagree. Some of the SLC Dunk guys, for example, think that he plays well as a one. I don't see it looking at the numbers, and honestly, watching the games, I don't see the kind of passing skill that would make sense as a point guard. That being said, I don't know that it hurts to have him learn those skills. The big thing to me that Alec Burks needs to improve on, and I don't think it's his offensive game. I think some of it's shot selection, which is it's coachable, right? It's not really something that you practice. But his big thing right now is defense. And he's just not cutting it defensively. And in particular, I think he gets really hung up on high screens. So you see him try to fight around these screens and just, I don't know if it's his body size or the way he's approaching it, but a lot of times he's baited into running right into the screener, which makes the rest of the defense shift and move in ways that it end up giving up 2 points, right? So that's, to me, the big thing, and that's the thing I highlighted in my article, last week, on what does he need to improve on. And given how good Stockton was defensively, he might learn something on that side of the ball hanging out with him.
Good point.
I don't know that, if he learns passing skills, great. I don't think it's going to happen from a week in Spokane. But you got to remember that side of the ball, too.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I think defensively he can be valuable if he plays the one as well with certain teams. I mean, having that kind of size, if he can be quick enough and defend, I mean, like a Russell Westbrook or somebody like that, it might be very valuable, I mean, coming some of those games. So
yeah, and we really have no idea how good Trey Burke is defensively, so that's one big thing we can see from a rookie point guard. Because NBA defense and college defense is a whole different level,
Yeah, very true.
So you said that you see Alec as more of a player off the bench. So do you see him as coming off the bench as the two, or do you think he can play, some backup one? And do you see Ian Clark having any kind of role off the bench?
Yeah, I think he's backup two to start the season, and I think that's where he probably should be. I don't know, given his previous play, that he deserves, honestly, more than 20 minutes a game, just because, I mean, sure, there's not a whole lot of competition on this roster, but if I saw Rush getting 28 minutes and Burks getting 20, that'd be fine. Now, what's going to end up happening is somebody's going to get hurt at some point during the season, right? I mean, we saw last year, it's the NBA. People are going to get hurt. So he's going to get minutes somehow, whether that's through a Trey Burke injury, that's through a John Lucas injury, whether that's through a Gordon Hayward injury, pushing Brandon Rush to the three and making Alec Burks a starting two. Marvin Williams could go down again, and then he'd be one of the backup wings. I mean, there's literally a ton of ways that Alec Burks can get more than 20 minutes a game this season, but I think he starts the year at backup two and maybe helps for 4 to 8 minutes in point guard, but I honestly don't want to see much of that at all. Regarding your question on Ian Clark, I think he's that guy who does step in then to the backup two role if any injuries happen 1 through 3. I also do think that he has some potential as a point guard, though honestly it's probably not his best thing either. He's a good shot creator. So he does two things really well. One, he makes three-point shots, right? Like, he's just an excellent three-point shooter and showed that last season. He won't shoot that well this season in the NBA because, A, it's a further line, and B, nobody can shoot that well ever. He had the best true shooting in basketball last year, and that's just not going to continue. That's how outliers happen. But the second thing that he does really well is shoot mid-range jumpers. And in fact, he was 55. I tweeted this out last night. I think he was 55% on his two-point jump shots and was only assisted on 10% of them. So you think about that, like those are pretty ridiculous numbers. Yeah, he shot 55% on 2-point jumpers and was only assisted on 10% of them. So that means he's going into mid range, 16 to 23 feet, and pulling up with pretty amazing success. And it's that sort of stat that I look at as a Jazz fan and say, okay, that's really encouraging and shows me that he might have a chance to be a threat while holding the ball.
Yeah.
Cool.
Perfect.
He's not going to be like a facilitator point guard, but anyway.
Cool. Anybody else have any questions? My internet's horrible, so I haven't been able to hear anything.
So, I think we're all right.
Any other questions, Randy? Okay, perfect. Well, thanks for joining us on this Jazz Cast, and we will catch you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks. Thank you, guys.